allegations of sexual misconduct. A report today calls into question CBS News' claim that his behavior was a surprise before he was fired last November. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
USA Radio News.
Today during the daily White House press briefing, much of the conversation and much of the questions revolved around Rudy Giuliani's comments made over the last 24 hours. Let's take a listen as Sarah Sanders addresses those comments.
When it comes to the other, the last instance that you mentioned, as Mayor Giuliani stated, this wasn't something that was initially known but later learned. And again, we give the best information possible at the time, and we're going to continue to do that every single day.
A Frontier Airlines employee was stabbed to death today when he got in a fight with a coworker on the tarmac at Philadelphia International Airport. The workers got into an argument earlier this morning on the tarmac, and the injured worker was taken to the hospital with a stab wound to the stomach, but he later died. Today, President Donald Trump celebrated the National Day of Prayer by outlining steps that the administration is doing to safeguard religious freedoms. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too. So why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Michael Caputo is a former President Trump campaign aide. Now, he just sat down with Special Counsel Robert Mueller for an interview regarding the 2016 presidential election. He's been making the media rounds, and he said and talked about what the focus of a lot of his questioning all pertained to.
I learned they're still looking at Russian collusion. They're still looking for it. While I wouldn't be asked about charges of obstruction or asked about financial crimes, I was there during the time when they believed that Russian collusion was initiated. That would be the only thing that they would ask me about. That certainly is the only thing we talked about.
Camille Cosby, Bill Cosby's wife of 54 years, blasted his accusers, the prosecutors in the case, and the media as being lynch mobs and seeking mob justice today in her first official statement from the Cosby household since the ex-TV icon was found guilty of sexual assault. The three-page statement was emailed to media earlier today by a Cosby spokesman. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Rudy Giuliani's admission Wednesday night that President Donald Trump reimbursed his lawyer for paying off an adult film star was part of a larger strategy. That's at least according to New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
You know, there's an old saying in the law, hang a lantern on your problems, right? So he comes in, he knows that there's been different stories being told about this payment and how it was made. So the fact is that Rudy has to go out there now and clean it up. That's what lawyers get hired to do. So he goes out there and he puts it out rather than having some reporter give breaking news that the president reimbursed it. So it's a typical thing to do.
Some lawmakers believe President Trump deserves a huge global award. As USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
Given the strides made already with U.S.-North Korean relations, some Republican lawmakers are serious about the president deserving to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Reports are 18 Republican Congress members have sent a letter to the Nobel Prize Committee recommending Trump for the world's most coveted human rights honor. That letter was penned by Indiana Congressman Luke Messer, who says President Trump has worked tirelessly to apply maximum pressure on North Korea to bring peace to the region and the world. Democrats against the idea. Some say the world is no safer because of Trump, and the Nobel Peace Prize should not be a partisan gaming opportunity.
With 27 more women accusing former news anchor Charlie Rose of sexual misconduct, a report today calls into question CBS News' claim that his behavior was a surprise before he was fired last November. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutter & Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well, hello, Hunterdon. Welcome to your county at work. But we're going to proceed by just letting know a little bit about the weather. Tonight, we're going to have some isolated showers. But what a day we had. Wasn't it beautiful out there? A little bit warm, but certainly enjoyable. Tonight, probably mostly cloudy with some of these isolated showers. And then tomorrow, we're going to have another high day. Again, cloudy, 87 the high, low at around 58 during the night. And it looks like Saturday, too, is going to be in the 70s. Sunday, a little bit lower, down to 69, 70. But still, some pretty warm temperatures. We might really be welcome spring. It's hard to say. Welcome spring.
Together we stand, united we'll fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together.
Well, welcome to Your County at Work. I'm getting a little assistance in the background here for the video. Thank you very much, Big C. Appreciate it. And we're awaiting the arrival of our guest today. So that's a little... Ah! Straight from the field. Here he is.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Hang on there a minute. At Your County at Work, which is brought to you by HuntertonChamberRadio.com, streaming live, and WHCR-DB. And what we tried to do is to take a look at the county behind the scenes, the human interest stuff that really runs the county and that you might not hear about very often. So today we're going to be talking to our manager of health services, who's an entomologist, and I started looking up some of these things. An entomologist is a scientist who studies insects, and really it was so funny, Todd, because when they said something in the actual description of it. If you like creepy crawling things, you're likely to be an entomologist. But it's a very specific type of zoology. So not only is our guest the manager of health services in Hunterdon County and an entomologist, but we also call him our vector control officer. And what that means is that we're looking at the quantity, both magnitude and direction, of our creepy crawly people. So what you're going to find out as you spend your time with us here at your county at work today is that we have a guest that is highly trained, professionally wealth, just a wealth of knowledge and know-how. And he's an employee. He's your employee. He's an employee of Hunterdon County. So his name is Todd Graney, who is still a little bit short of breath from leaping up the stairs to get here in time from the field. Welcome, Todd.
I apologize for being late. No, caught me by surprise.
No, that was just in time.
Oh, perfect. Anyway, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I want to really get into our subject matter, but I had a couple of just curiosity questions for you. And that is, what led you to be an entomologist? Tell
you. You know, our freeholder director made a very interesting comment the other night at the meeting. Sooner or later, you'll find a teacher in life who you really stick to, and that's how you develop your interest. And mine was my 8th grade science teacher. And to this day, we're in touch. And I remember I brought in what turned out to be a moth pupa. I didn't know what that was. I actually had
You might want to get a little closer to
it. It was in the mums in my parents' yard. And we cut it open, and it was fascinating to me. I saw this insect inside a case. And that's what really led to my interest. And he was such a great teacher. Everything I started doing became insect-related. I'd pick up dragonfly larvae in a puddle. And then it stopped for a long time. And it wasn't until I was in my later years in college that I kind of picked it up again, and that's when really developed my interest. Okay. So that's how I came to here, basically.
And what do you have to do to keep that going? I mean, that must be an ever-changing or ever-broadening piece of knowledge bank that you're in.
On the one hand, it's interesting. It's terrific because there's always something different every day. Today, for example, is a classic. Just when you think you've seen it all, something different. On the other hand, it's hard to keep up just between the technology and the way insects move around. You always feel a bit lost. So it's interesting. You know, today I was with a couple of colleagues from Sussex County, and we're comparing notes. I always find it to be very refreshing. You learn something that they're dealing with, and at the same time, you have some knowledge to offer. So it's just, to me, it's always been a fascinating field, and it never gets bored.
Okay, so you just dropped a little subject on us by saying that today was no exception. So
what happened today? Well, we've been discussing at length recently this invasive tick we have.
Uh-huh.
And this has been really interesting because there's nothing normal about this tick. Everything we've known about ticks in North America, just when we start to apply it, this one pulls a fastball on us and does something different.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to, if it's about the tick.
We can wait on that? Yep.
No, not wait, but I want to spend a lot of time talking about it because it certainly has been in the news. But rather than jumping right in, why don't we give the background of that we've just recently discovered, if you'll,
sure, yep,
start.
Let me back up a little bit.
And
so,
then we'll catch up with today. I thought today was some,
just a little twist on it.
Yeah, good.
So if we roll the clock back to last fall, August, resident came to our office with ticks on her. Nothing unusual about that. We get that all the time. What was striking was we didn't recognize a tick. And these were larval ticks, I should say. So it's larval ticks are, for some species, we've never seen before. I had never seen. They live underground in dens of voles and moles, and you wouldn't see them unless you're looking for voles and moles, which I don't. And so I thought to myself, it's probably just larvae of one of those ticks I've never seen before. The really weird thing, though, there are 1,000 on her pants or something like that. So fast forward.
On this person that came in.
On this person who came in our office, yeah. So I said, look, I don't know what these are. We'll get you an answer. And so I ended up kind of farming them out to various people who know ticks, and they didn't know what they were. Ended up at the Smithsonian Institute, and a researcher there who knows ticks quite well said, this is great. Where is this person had a sheep, and that's where she had gotten them. Where is the sheep? Was it in China? Was it in New Zealand? You got to tell me where the sheep was. I said, well, it's been sitting in a paddock in Flemington, in the Flemington area for the last 12 years. And so he said, are you sure about that? I said, well, let me double check. So we talked to the resident. And every time I hung up with the resident, I thought to myself, this doesn't make any sense. So we've got tons of ticks. We have some rare ones here I've never seen before. Maybe it's that. And as the story goes, it ends up being this invasive tick of all places that we found right here in Hunterdon County. Fast forward to this year, it turns out someone I've been working with at Rutgers, who's a tick expert, had collected some ticks in Union County last year, went back to his samples, and lo and behold, he found this as well. So it looks like we've had an exotic tick come in, which has probably been here for a little while. And by a little while, I'm thinking maybe 3-4 years, something like that. And now we're starting to see it sort of manifest itself. And that's what these invasive insects tend to do. They kind of troll along the bottom and suddenly start to explode. And that'll be the question is it going to cause a problem or is it just going to be there? And I've seen both of those happen in my career with invasive insects that have come in and become a problem and others that have come in and just they're part of the environment and we deal with them. So that's where the story is
today. And did they ever just burn themselves out?
They can burn themselves out. Yeah, that's another possibility. Although this one overwintered, it's entirely possible that it could flare up to the point where it actually burns itself out. We see that the closest analogy I can think of is like head lice where become severe infestation, you know, in children's hair, and you can probably do nothing, and they'll burn themselves right out without even doing anything.
The whole family would have to enjoy that experience.
Yeah, and most people aren't patient enough to see that through, and therefore you're...
Nor should they.
Yeah, we've seen that. So it's I refer to it as kind of a continuum. You've got this on the one end. It can become a severe pest. It can become a disease vector. And then the other end, it does absolutely nothing, maybe even dies off. And this one will probably fall somewhere in between there, and that's normally what we see. We'll find those answers in due time. But right now, it's looking like it's at least going to stick around for a while.
So when I looked up vector, right, it said a specific area with a specific species, and you look at the specific population. I mean, those are the kinds of things you do in your job.
Yes, that's part of the daily routine, and. We joke around in our line of work. We never say something with 100% certainty because we're usually wrong the second we do that. And especially when you have these invasive insects, we can speculate based on and what I say is we'll go where the data takes us like we do anything else. And sometimes that will change. And that's what we're going to start to see this year. Now that we're seeing this for the first time early in the season, we're liable to have some surprises here along the way. And the thing we found out today was we've been trying to manage this tick, so we're sort of experimenting, if you will, with killing it. We have the products. We've used those for other ticks. This one behaves a little bit differently, so we have to use the product a little differently. And the good news today
when our listeners or our viewers hear you say it behaves differently, what does that mean in your terms so that we know, it doesn't wave and the rest of them do?
much like you think of mosquitoes, we assume all mosquitoes act the same. And if you ever think about this, if you go down to the Jersey Shore, you get hammered by mosquitoes, and you're down there 2 weeks later and there's nothing, and that's the behavior of the mosquito. They have these brood effects where they move around. No different with ticks. And typically in North America, especially with our deer tick, which is our most common tick, we're accustomed to being on the wood's edge. And it's in relatively low numbers, relatively speaking. You'll get a few on you. Well, this tick is out in the open. It's on high grass, 2 or 3 feet in the air. And should you brush against it, you might get 1,000 on you. That's very unusual. It's also very aggressively coming to... stimuli that it likes, for example, carbon dioxide, which is what we would exhale. We've modified one of our mosquito traps to use that as a surveillance tool. And I expected to leave a trap out for a day, come back tomorrow, and we'll find some ticks. Well, we put a trap out, and within minutes, these things are crawling right out of the soil coming to it. I've never seen that before, the tick. It's very aggressive on that front.
So they've been latent or dormant or something.
Yes, they're literally just waiting for a host to come by. And ticks are notorious for doing that. They can literally starve themselves, almost like a bed bug, for a few months, and then if a host were to come by. And that's even a little bit unusual in the tick world. So it seems to be this particular species is a little bit more aggressive, responsible differently. And now, so what we try to do is we try to take advantage of that. So how can we use that to draw them in and kill them, for example? And that's something we're working with today is actually trying to draw them to an area and then use that as an opportunity, if you will, to kill them in a concentrated area,
And you mentioned before Union County, but now you're saying you were talking to folks in Sussex.
Yeah, so we were talking today about a variety of things. One of those was ticks. We also were using some equipment for mosquitoes, so we kind of had a multi-task day. But one of the things our partners in this, the Department of Agriculture and so on.
U.S. Department?
Yeah, U.S. Department of Agriculture. So yesterday we were in these conference calls, and they said, can you find out in New Jersey, if residents have a problem, where do they go? Would it be their mosquito program? Would it be their Rutgers Extension office? Because that might vary from county to county. So one of the things we're discussing today is what are you prepared to do? Could you take ticks in from the public? Could you kill ticks if you had to? And what we're going to find out is some counties are prepared to do certain things and not other things. And then we're going to have this sort of quilt-like structure so a resident in any county will know, if I have a problem, here's where I'm going to go. Much like we would do mosquitoes in this case, we're just shifting that protocol to ticks.
Okay. Our conversation today is a serious one, not a grave one, but a serious one, because I know our listeners are interested in ticks, certainly, and how to protect themselves, how to eradicate them, how to, you know, and so forth. And I do want to delve into that. But I happen to have been privy to a story about this discovering of this tick right here in Hunterdon County. And I'm wondering if you'd willing to tell our listeners. This is pretty. So this is the light side of discovering a new tick in Hunterdon.
I say it's funny because it all turned out okay. So I've got a couple different offices, as Mrs. Gay has referred to, in the health.
Please call me Suzanne.
Suzanne, in the mosquito business. And so I was up in our health department office, and I got a call from my assistant. I've been working with him for 18 years now. And he said, Todd, a lady came in today with ticks on her arm. And as we introduced ourselves to each other, we realized she had ticks all over her clothing, including her pants. Her pants are in the freezer, and she's panicking, and we're panicking. And to make a long story short, for those who don't know, is the easiest way to kill insects is either with extreme cold or extreme heat. One of the other, throw them in the dryer, throw them in the freezer. And she happened to have a change of clothes in her car. So he had said, I'll tell you what, why don't you go to the restroom, get changed, we'll take your pants and basically kill all these ticks. So I'm up in my health department office, and I hear this, her pants in the freezer. I'm like, oh, this is not good. And he said, well, she had a change of clothes. I said, okay, we're fine. So that's how it started. Then we end up losing touch to some degree, left voicemails, and she came in 2 weeks later and dropped off more ticks. And I said, well, I gotta have to pay you a visit. So we go out to her property, and I see the sheep, the one sheep.
One sheep.
One count of one sheep. And she had had 5 sheep as a 4-H project with her kids. Her kids are now through college. There's one left. All the others had passed away. I said, okay, well, I'm going to have to, you know, just get some ticks off of that sheep. And she just looks at me with the straightest face and said, well, you're not catching that sheep. I said, what do you mean I'm not catching that sheep? She said, that sheep won't be caught. I said, well, I'm not leaving until I see these ticks in the sheep. So there's 3 of us. There's myself, her, and a gentleman from DEP who happened to be at my office for another reason. We were talking black flies, actually. And
from DEP?
Department.
You do know you talk fast.
I do, and I should.
And now our listeners know that you talk fast. I'm just going to slow you down a little bit. So go
Department
ahead.
Of Environmental Protection. And I said, here's what we'll do. Let's sort of triangulate, if you can, and we'll get this sheep. So we would go one way, the sheep would go the other way. And this went on for 15, 20 minutes. It was a day like today. It had to be close to 90 degrees. This is now September. I'm sweating. I'm in my steel-toed shoes. And just as I was about to give up, and the sheep must have been thinking the same thing, the sheep just started sprinting. And I'm not really sure where it was going. So just out of instinct, I sprinted, and I tackled the sheep. And the sheep's on the ground. I was proud of myself. I looked up, and I couldn't tell if these folks I was with were aghast or they were impressed that I attacked the sheep. And then I realized the sheep wasn't moving. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've killed the sheep. I'm envisioning these phone calls coming into the freeholder office. You know, your stereotypical government employee doesn't even know how to, you know,
tackle a sheep. Everybody knows how to tackle a sheep.
And it turns out, as the story goes, the sheep did not like to be caught, but it loved to be held. And here we are. Now we're picking ticks left and right off the sheep. And it was thrilled. It just, you know, it didn't move a muscle. And I went back to childhood. I remember milking my cousin's goats. And if you weren't careful, you'd lose a couple of teeth. I mean, it would buck and this and that. And I'm waiting for the sheep to move, and it wouldn't move. And there were so many ticks, it was actually hard to collect them. They were piled on top of each other, particularly on its ears. But this sheep had 4 inches of wool. It was a Icelandic sheep. And we'd peel up the wool, and sure enough, there's a fully engorged tick there. And I was astonished the sheep was alive. So that sort of brings us to the end of the initial part of the story. But basically what we did was we helped the resident use an insecticide wash on the animal, and that killed all the ticks. So we felt really good that the sheep was now comfortable. And then the next step, well, at the time we didn't know it was an invasive tick. So we kind of left it at that. And then fast forward a month later, once we found out it was an invasive tick, we decided, well, we need to kill this. The problem we had at that point was it was getting cold out. This is now about November. And we weren't finding as many ticks. It turns out we didn't know this, but they had gone into hibernation. They had gone into the soil.
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to make everybody wait for the end of this story, because what we need to do at this point is to thank our sponsors that helped to make Hunterdon Chamber Radio possible. And so I'm going to take a break from this story. Now we know we have the tick, and we know that sheep likes to be hugged. Other than that, let's wait and see what happens.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, welcome back to Your County at Work. We're here with Todd Graney, who is the division manager in health services and an entomologist, and we're talking seriously about ticks and other things that affect our quality of life today. But we were just in the midst of discovering this unusual tick that's been really notarized, hasn't it, in the television and
yes,
whatever.
Yeah.
And Todd told us that the first sampling he got in Hunterdon County, which was a year ago, is that correct?
August 1st.
Yeah, just about. Having tackled the sheep
in literally. Order to,
yes. However, just to wrap that part of the story up, so in terms of you went back then to evaluate, I guess, the sheep a month or two later?
Yeah, so we kept track of the sheep over the winter. Turns out, by the way, we tested all these ticks. There was no disease in the ticks. There was no disease in the sheep. So that made us very comfortable that it was a biting pest, at least. It wasn't it's going to be a vector of disease just yet. So fast forward to the spring, and there's always a challenge. And the recent challenge now has been the cold weather. It turns out this tick does not like cold weather. So I remember a few weekends ago, it was 80 degrees on a Saturday. Went out, and we're collecting this tick. And realized, okay, we didn't get those ones last fall. Now we have to treat it. As soon as it hits, 55 degrees, it got down to the 40s and 30s at night. Couldn't find it again. And that's a problem because we know it's there, but that means it's probably not going to react if we try to kill it. It's probably just inactive. And this is obviously premature. We've got to all sort this out. So what we did about two weeks ago is we attempted to, maybe it was last week, we attempted to kill it, but we've been waiting till this warm weather to know did it actually work. Sure enough, we went out to the field today, and my assistant just emailed me before I got here and said, I couldn't find anything. It looks like we got it. So the good news is, although we know this tick is elsewhere, presumably it's been around, we're going to find it elsewhere, it looks like we're setting the stage for some very good management tools going forward of what to use, how much product to use, when to use it, and all those. Those are the kinds of things we're trying to work through right now. So that kind of brings us up to today. So it's finally a bit of decent news. It looks like we've sort of got our arms around it at least.
Ah. And to your knowledge, these ticks do not affect humans?
So far, everything's been clean. What we do is every time we collect these, and with any luck, we won't have any more, we're going to send those for pathogen testing, that is testing for diseases, at least for the known battery of diseases we would see here in North America. Now, if you Google this tick, there's going to be some very odd things that come up we've never seen in North America before. Those are very unlikely. That has to be a coincidence of other wildlife usually playing a role that we don't have here. So far everything's been clear. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on that. But my expectation, based on what I've seen so far, this tick could become a pest for livestock, no question. It's going to play a role in wildlife. Whether or not that's a problem or not is another story. But in terms of the human end, we just don't see it manifesting itself like that right now, at least based on everything we've seen so far.
And folks that have livestock here in Hunterdon County or surrounding areas, what should they be doing?
So, our pitch right now is we're really interested in seeing ticks that might come off, in particular your animals. It could be even a domesticated animal such as a dog, for example. So if residents have ticks, please bring them by our office. We usually ask that you put them in a baggie or a little
Where
bottle.
Are you?
We're right on Route 12, Building 1 by the County Library, Building 1, second floor, Health Department. We're accustomed to getting insects coming in, so this will be no surprise to anybody. But usually, the one thing we prefer you not to do is a lot of people have a tendency to put things on scotch tape. They're very difficult to work with because we can't see much, and it's very difficult to get those off and have the body parts you need to see. So if you have ticks, bring them by. Give us a call. We're at
in a baggie, you said.
A baggie or a little vial, whatever's easiest for you. Try not to crush it if possible. And what we'll do is we'll get back to you, tell you what you've got, number one. And so far, what we've seen so far is just our native stuff, deer ticks. Now, what's interesting is our deer tick nymphs have just come out literally
What's
in the
a
last
nymph?
Week. A nymph is a juvenile stage of a tick.
Okay.
This would be expected for this time of year. They usually peak around June 1st. So within the next month, you're going to see those peak. That's our real issue right now, and those transmit Lyme disease. So one of our messages is be very vigilant about tick checks in the yard, that kind of thing, because you're going to see these nymphs out right now. Turns out when those nymphs start to take blood, they actually look a lot like this invasive tick. They change the body shape a little. And so in a sense, that's good because people are going to really notice them probably more. They're in tune to seeing this. But I would say if you have ticks, bring them by, and we can certainly provide some health education on those ticks as well while you're there. So, that's our message to the public right now is if you can bring ticks in, we'd love to – not that we want to find these elsewhere, but we know if now that we notice if we can get ahead of these, we can manage them fairly easily, I think.
And they're actually from the Eastern Hemisphere, right? We wonder how they got here.
Yeah, so their native range is, let's call it South Korea through China. There is an invasive – an even more invasive sort of strain of this tick that's been found in Australia. There are some that can overwinter. Ours did, so we're leaning towards this introduction probably coming from China or South Korea right now. And my colleague in Monmouth County is working with me. She's a geneticist. Once she gets samples from those places around the world and she's in the process of getting those, she'll be able to compare lineages, and then we'll know for sure where it came from. At the moment, that's a fairly academic point, but it will be useful at some point to know exactly where this came from.
The reason I wanted to talk about this, and I want to get on to the ticks that everybody wants to know about, how do they take care of their yard, how do they make sure their kids are safe, how do we, that's important for us. But the reason I wanted our folks to hear and see this is that it's not that you find a tick someplace and then you go, oh, well, we don't know this one. It's a this. Oh, isn't that interesting? No, you've got the U.S. Department of Agriculture. You've got your geneticists that you have your own network or the state or the government, the U.S. has. And you're continuing to look at these populations and look at what they're doing and how they're growing. So for the average person hearing us today, they could know that this is not, that the study's not ended, that they will be informed if anything changes, but right now it appears to maybe affect livestock, but we don't know if it's a diseased process or not, and that it's not transferable to humans at this point, any disease process.
In fact, I've yet to be bitten by one myself. They really seem to prefer things like sheep, cattle, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And, for example, the USDA has found a few on a white-tailed deer, three ticks on a white-tailed deer. It leads me to believe they'll reluctantly go on a deer, but if they had a sheep, they'll go right to it. So I think what we're going to see is that's going to affect the ability for this tick to get around, and it may just slow it down.
Okay.
It will go on certain things, but unless the sheep – so in essence, what happened was the sheep happened to be in the – you would say the wrong place at the wrong time. I would say the right place at the perfect time, because without that sheep, we probably wouldn't know about this tick, and we may not have known until it's out of control. You know, so that really gave us a jump on this, and now we know what to look for. And with the help of residents, as we always get, with other things, that will help us really keep a lid on this.
Yeah, and regardless of what we see in the media, if they, blow this story up, these ticks are under watchful, knowable eyes.
Very much so.
Interestingly,
these ticks have no eyes. Believe it or not, and that's one of the
leave it to me.
They're
not looking back. In other words, we're watching them.
Yeah,
they're not looking
as
back.
As a quick aside, most ticks have eyes, and one of the things you can do to separate these ticks when you look at them. This is one of the few that doesn't have eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
Believe it or not, yeah. As crazy as that sounds.
That's Do you think anybody will ever ask me that?
You know, it's funny. I never knew that until I started getting the tick work, and I'm like, I didn't. I never noticed ticks in the eye. Sure enough, I put a dog tick under the microscope, and they're huge. Their eyes are huge. I never noticed them before.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, interesting side note.
Well, I know that when I work with a program called Leadership Hunterdon, and I know that you were our guest there, and there were so many questions about the tick that we know that we see on our white-tailed deer. And folks were interested in, you know, are they in the grass? Are they in the trees? What do I put on my lawn? How do I take care of my kids? So let's just go through that checklist to bring everybody back up to this season's information knowledge. And
that's
make
a great
sure,
idea.
Yeah.
Especially, it's a very timely thing. So just as a quick statement, when it comes to preventing things like Lyme disease, what I usually tell people is there are various things you can do. And every time you do one of those, you collectively lower your risk substantially. So I'm going to list three or four or five things. If you do one of those, your risk is going down. You do two of those, now it's really going down. You do three of those, really good. Now you do four of those, and you're probably not going to get Lyme disease at all. So the first thing you can do is just around your home is just be aware that ticks cannot survive in dry heat during the summer. So if you mow your lawn down to that normal length, 3, 4, 5 inches, no ticks are going to survive there. So just you're aware they're not going to be out in the open. They may drop off from an animal, but they'll die very quickly. So one thing you can do is just consider maintenance around the yard, keeping that grass low, along the edges, weed whack. That's a good thing. The next thing is do tick checks when you've been outside. You come back in, you check yourself, even the next day, because ticks are notorious for walking around your body and then latching on, you know, 24 hours later. So that's number two. If you're able, you can wear repellents, and they come in a variety of forms. I always say DEET-based repellents and these permethrin-based repellents.
Okay, wait. We're going to do that more slowly.
Okay, so DEET.
So this is repellent on adults, children, both. Animals?
Yep. It could be on all three. Yep. Oh, so animals, for example, your fipronil-based repellents.
Say that slowly.
Fipronil would be the active ingredient. There's a lot of brand names now.
Can you just not picking one over the other, but give us a couple names that a listener might recognize.
Yeah, so for example, Frontline would be the classic. That was one of the original fipronil products.
Okay.
I've lost track of a lot of the other brand names now, but when it comes to the repellents for people, your Cutter, your Off, those are DEET-based repellents.
DEET, are you saying?
DEET, yep.
Okay.
There's a long chemical name for that.
Yes.
That's really effective. That can go on your skin and your clothing. It can be used for children as well. There's a lesser dose, if you will, 10% as opposed to 30% DEET. And then on your clothing, these permethrin-based repellents, that's what we call synthetic pyrethroid, that binds to your clothing, and that's what we use typically in our office. So I'll spray my pants like I did today, and that will either repel ticks or kill them.
It's good. I don't have to move back for
you. Yep, you're fine. Yep, you should be fine. So that's number three. So you've done your lawn maintenance. You've done your tick checks. Use your repellents. And then even avoidance of tick feeding times. For example, our deer tick really prefers that early morning, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. Usually by 10:30 or so, you're starting to get the heat of the sun in the summer. They tend to go back down. Now, a lot of people don't like to be walking around, of course, when it's 90 degrees out. And then you get a little peak there towards the evening. So even being aware, hey, I was out this morning, let me check now for ticks, is a good thing to do. Preventing them from getting onto your body by noticing the areas of where your pants meet your feet and where your waist is, that's where ticks like to get in. Checking, when you do your checks, check behind your knees, between your toes. Ticks love these moist, dark areas of your body. I found one under my son's arm. He's 5 years old. Lifted up his arm. It was right underneath his arm just 3 days ago, Monday. So,
wow.
So just being aware that this is the time of year in particular to do that. So between now
the
and...
The cheek of a tick coming on your son's butt.
Yeah, and you know, it's honestly, the only reason I saw it was we were putting him in the bath, and yeah. I figured, let me just do a check because he's been outside. Sure enough, we found one.
Wow.
Now, the good news is these nymphal ticks, about 1 in 5 is infected with Lyme disease. So
oh, wow.
20%, whereas the adult deer ticks, it's about 50%. So the good news is if you get one nymph on you, the chances are you're not going to get Lyme disease.
And the nymphs are now... in time, right?
Yes,
June
this is
to nymphal, or May to
whatever. I usually say mid-May to about the 4th of July. We're just starting to see them now. So that's one, like, for example, insects are funny this way. Sometimes they're delayed. We had that really cold weather recently. It looks like the ticks are just on time. So now's the time. And then finally, the last thing I would say is trying to kill ticks in your yard using what we call a carasize. These are insecticides to kill ticks. You can hire somebody to do that. We can advise you of how to do that if you'd like to do it by yourself. Always feel free to give us a call. We take you through that. So if you can do that this time of year, so now you've done four or five things. If you do all those, you're in great shape. Okay. 1 or 2, you're still in pretty good shape.
Okay, so you're talking about now treating the property.
Treating the property
besides
itself.
Besides cutting your grass to four
yep.
inches or something like that. You don't want it to burn,
nope.
but you don't want it to get too high.
Normal mowing length is fine.
Okay, yep. good. So now you really could handle people calling and saying, what do I do and how
Absolutely.
Do I treat my yard?
In fact, usually I tell people is, even if you decide you want to hire somebody, before you do, give us a call. That way we'll give you some sense of what to expect from any given company if you're looking for quotes. Because you'll find certain people do this, certain people use different products, and that'll give you some sort of background as to what you think fits for your property. More than happy to show you that, too. If you want to come by our office, we can show you some of the products that are used and how they're used. And then you can do – some people, honestly, what they do is they decide to hire somebody knowing very well, I'm going to try this myself in a year or two, either because I'd like to do it or it's easier or I can save some money. So,
sure.
Yep. So if you do that, I'll typically do that in my own yard. I usually wait till about the third week of May or so. And you want to keep an eye out for the weather, too. You don't want to do it when you've got a flooding rain, potentially, because that could wash insects out of the way. But you do want some moisture. So a little tricky there.
Wow.
But
so in the dew time?
Yeah, that's
the
perfect
dew
time.
In the morning?
Yeah, that's a perfect time.
And
yep.
you were again, at Leadership Hunterdon, which I don't know. I'm keep bringing that up this time. You were talking about granular because they settle better in the grass.
So here's the problem. You'll notice if you go down to Home Depot, Lowe's, wherever, if you hire somebody, there's a lot of liquid products on the market. There's nothing wrong with those. They tend to be cheaper because you get a lot more distance out of them. Here's the problem. As things start to grow, and you'll know this in your yard, if you spray a liquid today, things will grow tomorrow. So what you sprayed will be above this area where there's nothing sprayed. The ticks are going down to the ground, so you may very well miss them. So normally what I suggest is to use a liquid either before things have started to grow, as it now is a little bit early, or to do that in the fall when things have stopped growing. Now, usually what I suggest is a granular insecticide, because what it does is that will, gravity will take it down to the soil surface, and you're liable to get these ticks that come up and down the column.
Of the grass blades.
Yeah, because wow. that'll settle right to where they're going to go to sleep basically at night. So,
As the grass grows, they stay at the ground level.
Yeah, and those are, what they do is they quest. They'll come up in the morning. As soon as the sun rises, they kind of come up. They wait for that host to come by. If there's no host, they go right back down, and they wait. And they wait until they find a host, and they're very adept at starving themselves until something comes by, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the one thing I just wanted to remind our listeners is that you said something about weed whack around the brush. I mean, we have so much beautiful preserved or not developed property in the county, but according, you know, along all those edges, there are...
Habitat, right?
Yeah.
So normally, and that's it's unreasonable to say, well, hold on a second here. I walk on trails. I do all this. Obviously,
yes.
that's out of control.
Yes.
So that's where we get into, okay, let's wear some repellents. Let's stay out of those grassy areas if you can. So if you're walking in a local park and you'll go through the woods, stay on the path, not to the side of the path, that kind of thing. And most of the time, we'll be just fine because those ticks really love to be, I call it the perimeter habitat. It's that edge where the animals are coming in and out, not so much out in the open. They don't,
okay.
really don't like to be out in the open.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else about ticks before we move on to some of our other...
I would say let's move on. That's that's in a nutshell what's going on in the tick world. We
okay.
could go on forever. But,
we could. And I know you could,
everything.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Very enjoyably, by the way. But we do have our... Wow. We're moving right along here. So I think of mosquitoes and black flies. Is there something you would rather talk about?
Just a quick update on black flies, because this has really been an interest. We're interesting. We're situated in New Jersey where there aren't a lot of other black fly problems. There's here in Hunterdon. They get up in the Warren and the Sussex to some degree, and that's about it. If you go to South Jersey, kind of where I grew up, people wouldn't even know what a black fly is. We just don't have the habitat down there. So just so people are aware, we had a very successful black fly treatment yesterday. Actually, what's today? Thursday? Must have been Tuesday. So what we do with black flies, we actually kill them with a bacterial product, which is really interesting. The larvae actually eat the bacteria. They actually crush the bacteria to the point where it becomes toxic. It's not even toxic to a black fly as it's ingested. It has to be cleaved at a certain point, which is really fascinating.
Oh, my goodness.
It makes it a very selective insecticide. It affects mosquitoes and black flies, and that's about it. So that's really interesting. Now, the problem with those is, you know, traditionally, your synthetic chemicals – you got very, let's call it routine kill. You could expect a certain thing. The problem with these sort of bacterial products is if they're sitting on the shelf too long, they might not work. They might have degraded, that kind of thing. So one of the important things we do is we go out to kill them and we back check to make sure we did. And we've had product failure before. But it turns out I got word yesterday from our field crew that we essentially think we got about 100% kill. So
wow.
I think now the good news is There won't be any black flag problems. I don't say the bad news is, but you will think the black flag isn't even there until we miss it, basically. That's the challenge we have is if we were to miss a brood, you would know it. And then I've got egg on my face. I look, can't you kill a black fly? And sometimes those things are out of control. But it looks for the moment like we're off to a very good start in terms of no nuisance. So my expectation is we're going to have a very good time here over the next few weeks.
And just to clarify, the black flies, we're not talking about those big old things that are as big as your fingernail. We're
good
talking
point.
About those little gnatty, that people might call them gnats or something. When you go out on your, I remember a year or two ago, you go back out on your patio at night and they're in your glasses and they're in your nose. And this minuscule
these
little
swarming gnats, yeah.
Yes, and we're calling them black flies, but don't expect to see something buzzing around one at a time for a fly swatter. That's not what we're talking about.
Not your
about.
House flies.
Yes.
Those are black. Yeah, these are, we always refer to those black flies because systemically that's what they're known as.
Yes.
A family of flies known as black flies.
I just wanted that.
Good clarification.
I wanted that. What do we know about the same kind of protection for skin and for clothing and for kids? And
not for black flies. Black flies are interesting.
Okay,
this is one of the challenges we have with black flies is there's precious little we can do about the adults. Black flies hone in actually by sight, not by carbon dioxide necessarily. And one of the reasons you'll notice a peculiar behavior, it's a swarming behavior.
Yes.
Maybe a bite or two, but not a lot of bites. Researchers I've met on this topic believe that's because they've come in by sight, they get about this far away, and they realize they got the wrong host, and they don't know what to do. And they buzz around, and occasionally one will bite you. Now, to people not from the area, they'll say, well, what's the big deal? Let me situate you in an area where you've got a black fly problem, and you'll understand what I mean.
Yes.
It's miserable.
Yes.
They'll get in your eyes and your ears.
Yes.
They will bite you occasionally. They are very painful. So the problem we have there is they don't respond to normal repellents. So really, the good news with black flies is they can't bite through clothing like mosquitoes can. So if you're covered up, they will not bite you. The other interesting thing about black flies is they tend to like to migrate to the highest area in the body. And you've probably heard this from people. If I raise my hand, they go up to my hand. That's a true story. They actually do.
And it's making me itch.
Yeah, just thinking about it. And they're very claustrophobic. If you, for example, out on a golf course, you get hammered by black flies, the second you get under a golf cart, you'll notice they tend to start to disappear. If you put an umbrella above your head, they tend to disappear. So the bad news with black flies is we don't have a lot of ways to deal with them once they emerge from the river system. So the key is to get the larvae. Once they're out and about, there are really no good ways to spray for them. So that's an area where I'd love to see some progress in terms of research, or research and development. That's the problem with black flies is once they're such strong flyers, even if we tried to hit them with an insecticide in the air, they can avert the insecticide.
And we're particularly lucky here, quote unquote, in Huntington County because of the Delaware and because of it. Yeah.
So if you can get them in the larval stage, the good news is the genie is in the bottle, so to speak. They're all right there. If you can kill them, you're in great shape. If you can't, that's when we have problems, basically. So that's the thing with black flies.
And we are moving right along here, so I want to – we should just cover mosquitoes,
probably,
right?
Probably, yeah. So just be aware we've got some diseases transmitted by mosquitoes. The good news is we survey for those. We find diseases in mosquitoes before they're in people. And more often than not, we rarely have human cases because we're killing mosquitoes either in the larval adult stage, and we've got that under control. The one interesting problem it's a fairly new problem we have an invasive mosquito here in Huntington, and it's called the Asian tiger mosquito. It's one of the few that will bite during the day, so we call it an ankle biter. It actually targets your ankles, and it's very painful. The interesting thing is we're on the threshold of its habitat, so we have them here in Flemington. Up in Holland Township, we don't have them yet. Along the ridge, we don't have them. In Lebanon, it'll eventually make its way up there, but it really can't survive the cold very well. And you'll notice, people often will notice this, the difference between temperatures here in, say, Flemington versus Lebanon Township during the wintertime. And that's just enough cold weather to kill those eggs. So the good news is we only see them in half the county, but where we do see them, they can become a problem. If you have problems with those, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'll try to help take care of those in and around your home. They're very very deceiving mosquitoes, and they can breed in very small amounts of water, and that's why they become a problem.
So people shouldn't have
things in your yard holding water.
And
that's easier said than done. I must admit, I've got kids' toys in the backyard. I look out there midsummer, and there's a little puddle of water in the little tricycle and that kind of thing. So we're all guilty of that. So if you have a problem with those, just give us a call. What we'll do is we'll actually come out to your property and help you get rid of those, basically.
Wow. So it's an appropriate time to say, again, where you're located and what's your phone number so that people can give you a call, because I think we've left a lot of little hints here about things that people can research through you and with you.
So my name is Todd Graney. You can call me at the health department. It's 908 888-788-1351. If I'm not there, my assistant Gary is usually around. One of us will get back to you if we're not there for whatever reason. And we're located right up on Route 12, County Complex, Building 1.
The first big building on the right.
First big building. Yeah, and our mosquito office is a little bit down the hill, but if you come in the health department, they'll steer you right down and we'll find you, basically.
Okay, so give that number one more time.
908-788-1351.
Okay, and is there any, you know, this is curiosity, this is self-learning, this is someone wanting to take care of their property. Is there any reason where you absolutely want to hear from people?
Yes, I would say in light of especially this, I'll tell you, I got to give a lot of credit to this resident who came in with this invasive tick. She had the presence of mind to know something wasn't normal. So like the other messages we have in our health department, if there is something unusual going on, don't hesitate to bring it to our attention. I know some people are a little nervous. They're like for example, this resident, she thought she had done something wrong.
Yeah.
I brought this tick in. She felt so guilty. Could I have caused a problem? I said, look, I'm telling you with 100% certainty, these things are never your fault. Insects, this is how they survive. They find a way to make life difficult, and you've done nothing wrong. So if you have a mosquito problem, don't feel bad about calling us. Don't think for a second. Even if you have kids' toys lying all over the place and you're producing mosquitoes, that's okay. We're going to show you how to fix that. We're not going to come out there and give you a citation for producing mosquitoes. That's just how nature works. So our job is to work with our residents to reduce the problems, because you're going to help your neighbor is what you're going to do. By reducing those mosquitoes, they don't decide, I'm just going to stay on your property. Then they fly and go elsewhere. So it's in our interest to know where's the problem so we can help solve it. So I always say, certainly from the mosquito end, we can solve the problem in these woodland areas, floodplains where there's water that's out of everybody's control. What we need the residents to do is call us in the environment where we have no control, and that is right around your yard where there might be producing mosquitoes. And then if you put those two things together, we can really reduce problems across the board. So don't hesitate to give us a call. And that goes for any insect. If you see something that's bothering your plants, we've got these invasive other insects.
We didn't even get to ants today.
Yeah, ants is another one. If you have structural pests, as we call them, ants, termites, and you're struggling to know what to do, you've got an estimate of $5,000 to solve a problem. The other guy told you $1,000 and you don't know what the difference is, give us a call. We'll steer you through that. And what we'll do is we'll provide a framework for which you can make a decision that's valuable to you, basically. So we serve as a
tremendous asset.
Just to give you some guidance. So you feel, I think the last thing as a consumer you want to feel is that they took me to the cleaners here and somebody, I just bought somebody a boat, you know, with the amount of money they cost. So what we want to do is just give you some education on what the problem is. And we have a couple of classic ant stories. If we have time at end, but we're there to help you with other insects as well.
Okay, we're getting close to that. Do you have a quick one?
Oh, so long story short, carpenter ants have always fascinated me because they're so smart. We had a gentleman that came in, and I've always heard, and I actually have heard this before, if you have a big enough colony of carpenter ants, which could be about 15,000 ants, you can actually hear them in your wall. This gentleman came in and recorded it. I never heard anybody record it. He said, I think I have carpenter ants. I said, why do you think so? Because often residents may think they have carpenter ants, but they don't. Sure enough, he did. And he played it for me. And I said, I'll tell you what, you're having some structural damage at this point. So we gave him some guidance as to how to take care of himself. And sure enough, he was able to kill that colony off. And he probably had a very mature colony. We figured that out by doing some surveillance with him. I had him go home and look for certain things, and he would call us. We guide him through that. And lo and behold, we were able to get rid of that colony of ants for him. Probably been there for several years, maybe upwards of 7 or 8 years or so.
Wow.
And he was just thrilled. He thought, is my house falling down, that kind of thing? And sure enough, it's not. So it was a good success story, but I'd never heard of anybody actually recording this. And he literally put his recorder up to the wall, and you could hear them munching away on the wood, basically, inside as well, which is kind of scary to him, certainly. So he had a huge colony of ants.
Sounds, I have to say, Tog, it sounds like a tremendous service that you offer, not just with information, but really hands-on and hand-holding for the residents of Hunterdon County. And
you know, my philosophy is always, this is service-oriented entomology. Our job is to provide a service. We're not there to, in our ivory towers, you know, contemplating our navels of what an interesting, fascinating insect. That's great to know, but our job is how do we solve people's problems? That's what we're there for. So even if it's not an insect we normally deal with, bring it in. If I don't have an answer, we will find an answer for you. And it could be my colleague up in the Rutgers Extension Office, Rebecca Magrin, who's great. Or it could be somebody halfway across the world, like this tick, who we finally touched base with, and they got us the answer. So we'll find an answer for you. It might not come from us, but we'll certainly help solve your problem.
And I want our residents and taxpayers to know that it's experts like Todd Graney and many others that we have in Hunterdon County that are working for you in this with this service philosophy and this coming to work every day to say, how can we help?
Absolutely.
So yeah. I thank you. You know, I don't know if we'll come back and get to answer whenever we see you again, but very, very informative, Todd. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And thank you for having me. And I apologize. I ran so late.
No, it was, as I say, it was just in time. You made me a little bit nervous, but that's okay. we'll be back here at Your County at Work on the 6th of June. We're always here on the first Thursday of the month from 4 to 5 o'clock on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. And I'll tell you what, and streaming live, when you just said something about your colleagues at Rutgers Extension, it made me think that it's just that time of year that I ought to go after them maybe for that June program, because it would be great to hear what they can do in terms of helping our growing season. From
Absolutely.
from our farmers right down to our you know, your neighbor. So this is Suzanne Legay saying thank you to Todd Graney, and this is Your County at Work, Hunterdon Chamber Radio, and we look forward to seeing you next month.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Donald Trump addressed religious leaders at the White House as it was a National Day of Prayer. The president has some news about a new executive order.
We condemn all crimes against people of faith, and today we are launching another historic action to promote religious freedom. I will soon be signing an executive order to create a faith initiative at the White House.
For a third consecutive day, severe weather will take aim at the central part of the United States into Thursday night as violent storms happened last night in Oklahoma and in Kansas City. Meanwhile, on the Northeast, including New Jersey and New York, they're seeing record warmth with temperatures near 90 degrees. Police in Nashville, Tennessee, say there has been a shooting at the Opry Mills Mall. One person was shot, and the shooting suspect is in custody. This is USA Radio News.
Make your home an ADT home and help protect against break-ins, fire, and carbon monoxide. Get our lowest rate for fast response monitoring, starting at just $28.99 a month. That's about a dollar a day from the most trusted name in home security. Get ADT's tested, trusted, and proven security and service, now at a great value. Don't wait. Call today. ADT. Always there. Now everywhere. Requires 36-month monitoring contract. Early termination, taxes, and install fees apply. Certain markets excluded. See terms and pricing at ADT.com.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got a MyPillow, and I go everywhere with mine. Stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
A disgraced comedian's wife stands by her man. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes explains.
A week after Bill Cosby is convicted of aggravated indecent assault, his wife Camille issues a statement in which she calls for a criminal investigation into, quote, the district attorney and his cohorts in her husband's case. She calls them a, quote, homogenous group of exploitive and corrupt people whose primary purpose is to advance themselves professionally and economically. And she also takes aim at the media for what she calls its relentless demonization of her husband. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Arizona legislature passed a budget today which included nearly $273 million aimed at giving teachers pay raises. It came after 13 hours of debate in the House and Senate. Governor Doug Ducey signed the bill, and now many students will be heading back to school after a six-day teacher strike. Check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
With the latest in the ups and downs of the first-time jobless claims, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
The Labor Department reporting the first-time jobless claims filed last week were up by 2,000 from the previous week, which is less than what experts expected. They had predicted that 224,000 first-time claims would come in, when in fact the number was 211,000. The steepest increases in claims were in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Today, President Donald Trump is observing a National Day of Prayer at the White House. Now, the president delivered remarks, and he also signed an executive order dealing with religious liberty. Let's take a listen to some of the details regarding that executive order.
The Faith Initiative will help design new policies that recognize the vital role of faith in our families, our communities, and our great country. This office will also help ensure that faith-based organizations have equal access to government funding and the equal right to exercise their deeply held beliefs. We take this step because we know that in solving the many, many problems and our great challenges, faith is more powerful than government, and nothing is more powerful than God.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And the weather for today is isolated showers between 7 and